The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. A lot of developments yesterday going on in the world of Houston, and we will talk about them. None any bigger than the post-Rockets loss of Game 1 and the way that everybody has responded. Everybody really, Lance, going crazy about the ISO. ESPN Stats and Info said, well, that's when you were most effective, if you want to know the truth. Oh,
by a long shot.
By a long shot. But then you have the argument, well, the other guys don't touch the ball, so how can you expect them to do anything when they do finally get it? Which is, I think, a legitimate argument. Yeah. I think if you're going to be rational about the whole thing, you know, oh, well, the other guys didn't do anything. But did James and Chris Paul put him in position to do anything since they really don't touch the ball for such long periods of time? I get that.
I think there's a – so the math tells you – Daryl Morey is, you know, a math guy. So the math tells you if – it's no different. What the Rockets are doing is if this works this percentage of the time, which is a very high percentage of the NBA – we're going to keep doing things that work at a high percentage. It's no different than how you play a blackjack game. If the odds tell you to do this and the odds are in your favor and you're playing house odds, because Daryl basically looks at the Rockets as, we're going to play house odds. And so if you play house odds, you eventually will win in the end. He's been proven to be right so far with 65 wins this year and all that, you know, and James has been highly effective. And they look at points per possession. The math tells you to do that, and why would you? It's no different also than college football where they say, well, we score X amount of points per play, so we want to run as many plays as possible. It's the exact same logic that they use in college football. We will run up tempo because if we run more plays, we're going to average a certain amount of points per play.
It's not. It's a little different.
How?
In that, well, but because there's a human element. It's not in a vacuum. It's not in a vacuum.
No, I agree. But it's not different than... No, I was about to make a point, but I don't think it's different with college football and with this basketball situation. They say, the numbers tell us this,
right?
So we're going to do this. The problem
is... Well, I think the correlation there, the analogy there would be, let's play up tempo and put up as many shots as possible. I don't think that the analogy is, we are going to isolate and we score this percentage of the time. So we're going to play up-tempo football. I think up-tempo basketball versus up-tempo football would be the analogy.
Well, here's why I say that. They say we're going to score this many points per play.
Right.
And the Rockets' ISOs are we score this many points per play. That's why. They're okay. Just saying we're going to run a certain play. It's similar. It's just I think you have to look at it just a little bit differently. Here's my problem with that. And that is true. And if you're going to play the odds, you play the odds. And that's why... an analytics group is going to say, why would we ever not do something that is effective? Why would we give the other team a chance by doing something that is proven to be less effective? And it makes sense from a common sense standpoint. Here's where here in college football is where it's a mistake to me is if you stay by the numbers, you don't take into account the human element of fatigue, of college football players exactly. Getting tight. There's a lot of different things right. You don't take into account. In basketball, what you don't take into account, in my opinion, is the human element of how are those guys ready to perform when they don't do anything for the first 7 minutes. Now, I also think you can isolate and do it better than the Rockets did the other day where it just turns into one guy having the ball doesn't right. mean that you can't create better looks for teammates.
Okay, going back to that, I would say the analogy in college football would be we have Adrian Peterson. We are going to continue to feed Adrian Peterson the football. That would be the analogy. We have James Harden. We are going to continue to feed James Harden
yeah.
the basketball. And you know what? And that's at the detriment of everybody else, too, because when I've got to throw a pass, you know, whether or not it may open up. And oh, by the way, James Harden isolation does open up other guys because other guys are going to, when James drives the lane, he's going to be able to dish to somebody open. I think those analogies are analogy may be a little bit more accurate. But there is that human element of, well, look at, you know what, Bamute, he needs to hit a freaking layup. There's no question about that. But because those guys didn't do anything, that's one of the big reasons that the Rockets didn't win. But here's the thing. I get the isolation thing, but you totally abandoned the pick and roll, which was also effective for you.
You did.
You totally abandoned. Now, Mike D'Antoni yesterday says, he says, we are going to continue to do what we do. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. You got 65 wins this year. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Here's D'Antoni.
Oh, my gosh, the ISO, that's all we do.
No, it didn't.
And that's what we do best. We scored like 60% of the time on it. It's like, no, really? You know, they don't pass everybody's stand. Really? You watch this for 82 games? That's what we do. We are who we are, and we're pretty good at it, and we can't get off who we are and embrace it. Just be better of who we are, and don't worry about somebody else solves the puzzle a different way. Bam! That's how they solve it. We solve our puzzle this way. We got to play at our strengths, and we know our strengths, and we just got to do it better.
That said, Eric Gordon. Now, Eric Gordon has been very up and down, mostly down. But Eric Gordon has to play well if the Rockets are going to win, because they need other guys to perform. Eric Gordon's quote was, man, we gotta get everybody involved. James Harden even said, you know, I can't do this by myself. You know, he made a reference to those guys got to play better too. You know, everybody's got to play better. One of those references. But behind the scenes, I know somebody that talked to a couple of assistant coaches yesterday. And even they said, man, the ISO ball, it was too much. There, I think, you know, being able to score and do what you do is one thing. But to totally depend on that is totally another, I think. I think you got to, you can't just keep going to that well. And, oh, by the way, James Harden, he expends more energy doing less than anyone I've ever seen. I mean, how much he dribbles in between the leg and then it's down to 2 seconds on the shot clock, and either he passes it off or he throws up something. But all of that, man, oh man, oh man, James, and he's going trying to, by the end of the game, you have to believe that dude is going to be tired.
He got gassed against last year in game 5 against, we always talk about game 6. James started off great against the Spurs in game 5. And by the overtime, well, really by the fourth quarter, he was gassed. I mean, he had nothing in the fourth quarter. At the end of the fourth quarter, he had nothing. And that was a game you had a chance to steal in San Antonio. And he had nothing at the end of that, and he had nothing in the post
in game six.
Overtime.
And in game 6, right.
Yeah, and in game 6, but that looked more intentional. But, yeah, he was definitely gassed by the end of that. And that's what Charles said. You didn't hear it. That's exactly what Charles Barkley said at halftime is, you expend this much energy, it is going to catch up with you, and you're going to be fatigued later on. Now, I
see how smart I am? Me and Charles.
You and Charles, that's what you want. By the way, did you see Charles throwing a baseball?
Yeah. Did you see Dell throwing a baseball?
No, I need to see it. I've heard KJ had some ugly things
to say about it. Well, Dell and Charles Barkley, I think it's almost identical the way they throw a baseball.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I really think it is.
Is it? Well, mine hit the target. Charles didn't hit a target.
You don't know that Charles wasn't throwing it into the stands?
No, he was, but there were buckets for him to try to hit, and he didn't.
Oh, is that what he was trying to do?
He didn't come close, no.
Oh, I didn't see any buckets in that picture. I didn't know where he was throwing it.
It legitimately looks like he's got issues. Like, somebody compared him to Jeff Bagwell circa 2005. Right. That's what it looks like, actually. I think that what Mike D'Antoni says is actually accurate. You can't change who you are. You don't change who you are in the postseason, but there are ways. I got this from a former NBA assistant who said, he said so many, here, I want to get the exact quote for you. This is during a game. I said, this game has great players and is so boring. One-on-one ISO all game. That's what he said in game at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
At halftime. I understand what people are saying. When it works, it works. But you've got to get a little bit more motion going. You've got to get guys active. It can't just be 1-4 sets all the time, because that's what it turned into, or just high screen and rolls. But here's, once again, I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to go devil's advocate because I do understand this. When I open my mind to this, I get it. Why would, like, if I told you, this is like a card game. If I told you that you're in a card tournament and you're trying to win the tournament and you're going to play a bunch of, and you're going to play a bunch of 10-7 suited in a card tournament, right?
Yeah.
And when you're eliminated, you're eliminated. That's probably not going to be your smartest plays, is playing 10-7 suited against other people on the hand. For a guy like Maury, he's thinking, you guys want us to do things that are more like playing a pair of 10s than playing, you know, what an ace-king. We have the advantage, or we have the better hand when we run it out of James. And I get that, and he's right. The better hand. But here's the thing. To win a tournament, you don't just catch cards. You have to make your own luck sometimes, playing some hands that you don't expect to play that turn into something else.
Well, those hands that you expect to play are PJ Tucker from the corner.
Yeah.
Trevor Ariza hitting better than 1 for 5. It's Bamute hitting layups when he gets
a
chance.
Well, those are more queen jack suited, right? Those are more maybe it's more 9-10 suited.
It's maybe, yeah.
But it's more suited connectors than it is going to be. Like, you got to, I'm just talking totally poker to John here.
Right.
So, but, well, hopefully AJ and Fred are listening cuz they'll enjoy it. But I think
no, Fred yesterday on the show. Here's Fred. He was listening to me and Raheel, and he says to the guys, he goes, yeah, I was listening to John and Raheel. I know I shouldn't have been, but I did. Like, F you, Fred.
Did he call you a D-weed? Yeah.
No, he didn't call me a D-weed, but I'm like, what? You know what I would, you know what mistake I'm making right now, Fred? Listening to you. Change.
Yeah, that came that when you I don't listen because I never make the mistake of listening to the Blitz.
Right.
But
what? Where is this? What is happening?
Well,
here?
He took his shot, so we're taking.
Hey, ours. Take a shot, bro. Hey, Fred, take your shot.
Somebody from the Blitz is actually in this room.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really make the mistake of listening to you either.
Oh,
so,
what?
You
oh, so listen? Are you taking listen? Credit for those ratings? Or is that oh somebody's taking a little credit?
They spike in those 22 minutes.
Is that what's bringing them up there?
It's a huge
spike.
That's
bringing them up.
Well, you better quiet down because all of a sudden Lance Erline doesn't make appearances on the Blitz anymore. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see about that if you start taking credit.
Wait a minute.
You'll be like Tiger's caddy.
Yeah.
Beat it.
So you're listening in the afternoon.
I mean, perfect. I like going on that show, but if you tell me to do less radio, I'll do less.
Okay.
Well, I'll just go to Prime. But I do think, but just back to my point, because I know we got break in here in a second, but For now, it's not just Maury, it's Mike D'Antoni. They're saying we've got the better cards. We're playing with James, usually ace nine suited or better as an opening hand. Why would we play lesser cards to start our hand? And I get that. I understand that. And it's the same reason Kevin Sumlin used to argue with me. I'm like, well, coach, but what about, don't you want to take your foot off the gas when you get ahead and you're in the fourth quarter? He goes, you just don't get it. Like, he was besides himself. He said, what do you not get? We average this many points when we get to this many plays, so we want to get to this many plays. And I just, maybe I'm wrong and maybe we're all wrong. And robots would tell you, you play the numbers and you don't deviate. That's how Vegas makes all their money. You don't deviate from what the numbers tell you. But I still feel like there's a human element in basketball that is missing. And I feel like Golden State shows you that human element by making mid-range jumpers, by back cutting. Now, they also execute.
Yeah.
And so maybe the whole thing is, John, just better execution.
Well, but listen, all of their options are ace-king, ace-queen, ace-jack. You know, it ain't like you're playing 10-9 over there. I mean, which option isn't a dominating hand over there?
Iguodala.
He's
a pair of
Iguodala
six. He's a pair of sixes.
He's a jack-10. Suited? He's a jack-10 suited?
He was in the past. I don't know if he still is, but
No. But you know what? Then you got but here's the deal. Get the ball, try to and I was listening to Jalen Rose.
Why were you listening to them?
Yeah, F Jalen Rose. You know, he's like, you know, you got to get the ball out of KD's hands somehow, some way. Go double
the
him
Rockets,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Rockets do. You got to go double him and get off of Iguodala and let him beat you.
Here's the thing. The Warriors are a pair of kings. I'm not going to call them bullets, but they're at least a pair of kings. Every game you play them, they're opening with a pair of kings.
Yep.
That's how you're opening every single hand.
All right, 714 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Some Astros news as well as they win last night. We got to get to that, right? around the corner here on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Astros have loaded the bases with Jose Altuve due up. One out in the eighth inning.
We know what kind of damage he can do if he makes Alvarez throw a strike.
There's a ball hooked down the line, and that is a fair ball headed towards the corner. Reddick scores. Gurriel scores. Bregman digging for third. He's heading home. He is safe. Astros take a 4-3 lead in the eighth.
I'm pretty good.
First game this year that they've won trailing after seven. So nice job by Jose Altuve coming through in the clutch. A guy, you know, make no mistake about it, his power numbers are down. His average is down a little bit. He's not on the pace to have as many hits this year. So that's a big, big boost. Whether or not you worry about a Jose Altuve is one thing. But this is a big enough sample size where Altuve will get going, and he got going last night. Nice job. He hit one to the wall that Trout ran down. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on it yesterday.
Yeah, he's on it.
He's on it. I mean, I'm never – that's the last guy. I think there's a legitimate chance that he'll end up as one of the top three hitters in baseball history when it comes to total hits.
Oh, I think he's gonna press Pete Rose.
Yeah, man, you gotta play for an eternity.
Well, the little dude can do that.
Yeah, as long as he wants to play, like, you have to want to play that long. Yeah. Not only do you have to stay healthy, you have to want to play.
Oh, he loves baseball, and he loves the paychecks. He came from such a poor place that he.
But he won't.
That's
be poor.
Why
he's not poor anymore.
No,
he won't be poor in 15 years.
No, but. He, you know, yeah, I mean, he. I think that Jose Altuve is going to
be
around.
It has to drive you like a chase. If you're going to do something like chase Pete Rose's streak or number, it has to be your overwhelming drive. Like, has to be, I must get this number. I must get this number. Total hits in Pete Rose's career. This is still a stop.
44-56?
42-56. That's like 2,200 hit seasons.
Yeah.
He's at four. That is insane.
That's
but Pete 21, only had
200 seasons.
Yeah, Pete only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He had 10 200 hit seasons. That's how long he played. He played for 24 years. He had 10 seasons of over 200 hits.
Guys played 24 years then. You go look at Henry Aaron and Willie Mays. Those are 24-year guys.
Back in the day.
24-time All-Stars those guys were.
See, and that's why I think the all-time records are going to start to be pretty hard to be broken in a lot of these sports, because guys don't have to play as long. They make so much money that it's going to be – you have to be driven by way more than financial. Back then – where else are you going to make that kind of money?
That said,
you see
Tom Brady still going, and you know, and what more does he have to? And no. I think Jose Altuve has the possibility of that kind of guy. Those.
But that's why if you're going to talk about a guy who's going to challenge Pete Rose all time, I'm never going to be worried about that guy's hitting.
Yeah.
Because that's how good he is. I mean, he's special, special. Georgie, we're waiting to see Georgie get it back from coming back from getting dinged. But Garrett Cole for the first time was not didn't look dominant.
He gave up a couple of homers too. That was a bugaboo of his last year.
Three walks also, which was a little unusual for him this year.
You can't expect every outing. He's got a 1.75. I mean,
it went all the way up to 1.75. It's disappointing.
I know it's a little disappointing.
Didn't he get a quality start?
He only pitched five. CB Buckner took one to the face, so that took a while so it kind of slowed the game down when the foul ball. Shohei Ohtani. Who is public enemy number one now since he destroys umpires. He fouled one off C.B. Buckner's face.
Every time I see that, I think, man, it's got to suck to be an
umpire. By the way, C.B. Buckner behind the plate is never good for a pitcher. He is the worst umpire in baseball. Next to Angel Hernandez. I hate to put that on him when Angel Hernandez is still out there.
Yeah. No, C.B. Buckner is a zone squeezer.
Yeah. Get big ups to Josh Reddick throwing a couple of guys out. He threw Trout out at third, and he threw I forget who it was. He threw out at the plate, but that's a big out at the plate. So Josh Reddick, if he's not contributing with his bat, at least he's doing it with his arm, which was nice. And then they sent down Jake Mariznick last night. So Jake Mariznick, that experiment is, well, it's over for now. He's going down to the minors.
They gave him a long run-up, and they said, let's just keep running him. Let's see what happens. And once he ran himself out, that's why I thought that his days were numbered, because you go that long and you are that terrible, there's only one place you're going to go. You're either going to get sent down or designated for assignment. He's not going to get designated for assignment. He's too good a defensive player, and he's got speed. But I didn't think there was any doubt that eventually he was going to have to go. And then your boy Tucker came up.
Yeah, no, they haven't decided that yet.
I know. I'm just trying to get you a little excited.
No, it's probably going to be Kemp or J.D. Davis, one of those two, more than
why. But why, John?
Well, J.D. Davis was...
He's crushing a ball.
He is. He was destroying. Now, whether or not you need another...
I can't another, beat you into a you Tucker a, thing?
I would love to see it, but you know what? They're not going to do it. They want to get him more at-bats. I see it. They don't want... Unless he's going to be playing on an everyday basis at the major league level, they don't want to do that. Okay, I get it. I think it's a mistake, but it's their mistake.
Hey, we'll bring somebody up who's hitting. Yeah. I don't care if it's Tucker,
I don't
if it's
think
J.D.
It probably
Davis.
Won't be J.D. It'll probably be Kemp. It'll, because they need another
because
outfielder.
He's a natural outfielder. Yeah. Yeah, he's a natural, and he's got speed and can range. And yeah.
So we won, John Granato. Why are you going to give all that extra noise? Listen, you won. All right. I am not Mariznick sent down. Everybody's adding me on Mariznick being sent down. Stop. Okay. Mariznick should not have been. It shouldn't have been this long.
He should have put him in this position.
Yeah. He had to. I know that's a tough conversation for AJ to have with Jake Mariznick, because I'm sure he likes him. Everybody on that team likes him. They were so happy. They were as patient with Jake Mariznick as possible. Oh, CB Buckner is actually the one who came in. The other old white guy behind the plate. Was the one who left. So CB Buckner will ruin all your hopes and dreams anyway, either way. But so Jake Mariznick needs to go down and get some more confidence. Jake Mariznick was a hot mess. It couldn't have been good for him. It may be a little bit of a relief for Jake Mariznick. Dude, I can't keep doing it. He had to feel like, my goodness, this is the worst time of my life. When you're striking out 41 times and walking once. I mean, it's just, it cannot possibly get much worse for him. So this is a relief for Jake Mariznick.
I honestly mean this. It had to be embarrassing for him to go up to the plate, because he obviously had no confidence.
None.
Wasn't seeing the ball well, was at zero confidence. I mean, frankly, in just complete and total honesty, I was really surprised that they kept doing that to the guy. Like, forget the fact that it's not giving you any kind of a chance offensively. I almost felt like it was unfair to Mariznick to put him in that position, because he was failing on such a miserable rate. Why keep running the guy out there? You didn't do it to Giles. Mm-hmm. You said, man, we can't keep doing this to Giles or to ourselves. Why did they keep doing that with Mariznick? That just didn't make sense to me. He gave you no chance. Giles gave you a better chance, a much better chance.
Oh, yeah.
Giles had some successful outings. Mariznick had almost nothing. I really honestly didn't understand why are you continuing to do this to yourself and, frankly,
and to
this
Jake
guy's confidence.
Yeah. No, so it's a good thing. We'll see. I'm going to bet it's Tony Kemp that's going to be brought up, because they need another outfielder. So and give the guy a shot. The dude was hitting in spring training, and he's hit before at the major league level. Give him a shot. If it's Kyle Tucker, I'll be thrilled, but I don't think it's going to be. 713-780-3776.
Your boy Nestor says there's a difference between ISO ball and just plain stupid. The way they played in game one is not the way they won 60-plus games. Do it again and we'll get swept. That seems like just a very plain tweet, but it's an incredibly accurate one. Just because you played ISO ball, it was not the way you played basketball. There was more movement. There was more action.
Yeah, absolutely.
The balls were less sticky. You know what I'm saying. The ball didn't stick there. I know as immediately as I say, the balls were less sticky. Like, But it was. I mean, James, it just stayed in his hands, and it stayed in Chris Paul's hands.
That's, man, You just put that on those two too. On top of you're talking about sticky balls, and then you're and then you got to bring those guys into it. Thanks. They're saying, oh, thanks, Lance. Oh, thanks, Lance, for bringing us into this. All right, it's 729 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. HRP.net, HRP.net. Those are our peeps over there. That's who we use for our payroll and HR and taxes, quite frankly. You just went through tax season, and if it was a nightmare for you, if it was difficult for you, if your payroll company doesn't take care of all that for you, if you had any issue whatsoever, if you've had any issue whatsoever, because we've never had any issue with our payroll company, love them, call Laura Beavers here at the station and ask her about it, because she's the one that deals with all of that, and she's going to tell you it's fantastic. I'm telling you, you hear a bunch of, you hear Chuck Watson and businessmen and Chad Clay and all of these guys and Marcus Orleans Seafood and Payavla. And you guys, you hear all of these guys talking about how they use HRMP. And you know what? They're real. Those are these guys are big advocates, and they love what HRP does for their businesses, and it'll do it for yours. The transition is simple. Kevin or Chris they've got a whole staff of salespeople that are going to come in there, and they're going to set up your business, and everybody's is different. So give them a call and let them come to your business and tell you exactly what they can do for you. 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
Say I need some Rogaine to put in my hair. Work it out at the gym.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Game 2 tonight. You got any thoughts, you're more than welcome to get in. If you couldn't get in yesterday to give your thoughts on what was going on with your Houston Rockets, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. We took a bunch of calls yesterday. So if you have any issues whatsoever, you may be having an issue with a country station just overpowering us again this morning, go to the app, 97.5, ESPN 97.5 app. And it'll come in clear for you. That country station is just blasting us in the face.
And if you don't believe in apps, because for whatever reason, you can go to ESPN975.com, scroll down a little bit. The live stream is up, so you can find us there as well.
Yeah.
Multiple ways.
All of that
if
happens.
If you don't believe in apps?
Some people don't
think
believe in apps.
You're being tracked by the government?
Some people don't those fancy apps on their phone. They like a traditional website. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Fine. Yeah, so that's that.
There are way more conspiracy theorists than I ever realized. I mean, I've come to know this over the last probably 5 or 6 years, but there's a lot of people who are just convinced. Like, you can't go on the internet without figuring out, oh my God, there are people who 9/11 was an inside job. I can hear there's a gun right here's the bomb, and here's this. Like, you really believe this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Illuminati is trying to, Jay-Z and Beyonce are trying to, they're getting a cult, and this Illuminati cult that's capturing children and eating their souls, and they turn into lizards on TV. Watch this woman turn into a lizard on TV, and they'll show a picture of, I can't, if you stay on the internet, you realize, oh my God, YouTube is a great way to trick simpletons into believing anything also. Like, I have to catch my kids. They watch this Mike Korzymba guy on, and they're listening in the car right now. They listen to this Mike Korzymba guy on YouTube. Now, I'm not going to lie. They've learned a lot about basketball history, but they'll also, this guy also gets a little, Will Chamberlain had a 51-inch vertical leap. My kids are like arguing with me. Will Chamberlain had a 51-inch. Why? Because some guy on a YouTube channel told you that? Will Chamberlain did not have a 51-inch vertical leap.
If they say it on YouTube, then it's true.
If it's a YouTube channel, it must be true. But they lock in on this guy's channel for everything. And they'll sit and have arguments against each other based on, like, you guys know you are getting all your information from one guy. You're just going to argue the same thing all the time. You're going to be on the same side. Because this, like,
This guy's like 22 years old, maybe. Maybe. Probably worth more than I am because he's got a certain amount of subscribers.
Well, of course he does. Of course he does.
Who are the five worst players who have max dollar contracts? Like, it's stuff like that. Yeah.
We're going to have Ice Cube on tomorrow.
I know. I'm pretty hyped.
What do you...
Seven...
Aren't you scared?
Early.
He always... 10. Doesn't he seem angry to you all the time?
Well, I mean, that's kind of his thing.
Yeah, I know. And so you're not scared? It's kind of like Huggy being on, don't you think?
No, I don't think it's like Bob Huggins necessarily. We only have him for 5 minutes.
Well, I know we have him for 5 minutes. What are we going to talk about?
Hey, Ice Cube, tell us about the big three.
The big three. This is about the big three, right?
This. Great. We'll see you. Bye. Yeah. That's going to be...
So the big three, he's going to be part of the big three now.
Oh, it's his. It has been since last year. He started it, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Ice Cube started it. So this is year two. They had an issue with their commissioner.
Didn't they have an issue with some guys showing up?
Yeah, they had like
Allen Iverson show AI up all the time?
No. Yeah, here's something. Don't put AI on your team. He's not going to show up on time.
Well,
you're not going to.
Don't you think that the
work.
Players should show up on time?
Yes.
I think
that helps.
Or show up at all.
So they had a big beef with their. They got a new commissioner. They have gotten rid of players who don't show up. They've actually changed some of the rules. They've added another player to go from four players to, I think, five players now. So they made some changes. I don't know how I feel about that league, though, because.
Raheel watched it a lot. Raheel should be doing this because he knows. He actually watched it.
Yeah, no, it sounds awesome, and then you remember, oh, yeah, these guys aren't nearly as good as they used to be.
No.
When you watch Legends Leagues, yeah. Like there was a gentleman's establishment down the road on Richmond, and it was called Legends. And I used to joke, like, I'd rather see double, I'd rather have one called Double A's, the people on the come up, not like the Legends of Gentlemen's Establishment. I don't want an old timers. I don't want the Legends.
Yeah.
Don't show me a Legends game.
Old timers strip club? No, we don't want that.
Legends. I don't want the ones who are legendary.
Yeah.
I want something called primes. In their primes.
I want fastballs.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't want like, hey, we've had to move the fences in here. Luke Appling is on the pole.
Speaking of which, Todd said, and he's right. Back in the day, they used to have two All-Star games a year. For a few years, they had two. Which is why Willie Mays and Hank Aaron had 24 All-Star appearances. So that happened, which makes a lot of sense. You should have two All-Star games a year, right, Dell? How many more All-Star games for everybody? That's probably your thought on this.
More baseball is what you're
saying? Yeah, more baseball.
And not just more baseball, more inconsequential, doesn't mean anything
right,
baseball.
Right, exactly.
That's just great.
Hey, this time it counts, Dell, okay?
No, back then it didn't count.
Well, and it doesn't count anymore, actually.
No, it doesn't either.
Zach is here. He wants to talk about his Rockets. What do you say, Zach?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So remember back when Chris Paul was on the Pelicans and he tried to go to the Lakers and the NBA blocked the trade because it was going to be make the Lakers too competitive or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why that was allowed to happen then. But KD's allowed to go to Golden State. If you ask me, that's more, making Golden State more competitive than the Lakers ever would have been with CP3.
Hey, it wasn't that simple. Well, one was a trade. One was free agency.
No, you can't stop a guy from going on free agency somewhere.
So that's first and foremost. One's a trade, one's free agency. And the other one was that it was a little bit more complicated than that. But, Daryl Morey, that's one of those that he kind of got saved because he wanted Pau Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
Pau wouldn't have done anything here. Pau wouldn't have made any kind of real difference. That's when he was out searching, trying to figure out who do I plug in next to James Harden because he had just gotten James Harden. And it just didn't, he got saved from that. He got saved when Chris Bosh's heart attack. That was something because Daryl would have gone all in with Chris Bosh and with Chandler Parsons because he was willing to go over the tax threshold. I think that would have got him fired. I think Les Alexander, because you would have had so much money in Chandler Parsons and Chris Bosh. Bosh was no longer able to play. Chandler Parsons soon after had the knee where they drill the hole in the knee. It's the microfracture.
Yep.
He had microfracture. He would have had two basically max dollar guys who would be sitting on the bench doing nothing. What are the odds of winning then? It would have been a whole lot harder. And I think they would have been paying they were going to go over the tax threshold, and Leslie Alexander would have been like, I'm paying tax threshold for this? I think Daryl could have lost his job with that potentially if Les got all fired up. But it didn't happen, and now the Rockets are here trying to figure out how they can bump up a 13-point loss at home. Yep. You know, they're a 1.5-point favorite again.
Again, which is crazy. After the game, I said the Golden State is going to have to be a 2-point favorite. As a matter of fact, I bet my buddy.
No, because now it's considered must-win. That's why they almost never change. I figured they didn't change the
Celtics either, though.
I know, and that's why you're looking at that. Dumb. Like, is it going to be the same thing?
Why would Cleveland be a favorite after that first game?
LeBron looked like, at the end of that game, I mean, he still made a couple of really nice plays. A good block, but it looked like LeBron has left the Cavaliers. On his face, you could see a look on his face. Jeff Van Gundy goes, the Cleveland Cavaliers do more eye-rolling at each other than a married couple. Fourth quarter, and it was true.
But how stupid is that? And I talked to my buddy yesterday about it. I'm like, I see with my human eyes. Now, the money is going to go. I understand. Oh, listen, the Rockets have to. It's a must-win now. I see with my human eyes that it's going to be very, very difficult. The money is going to fly in on Golden State. It's got to. With the Rockets, if you were smart, you took points. When is Golden State catching points when they're playing like this? It just doesn't make any sense.
It's just considered a must-win.
When I watch Boston win by 25... Why is Cleveland a favorite again in game two? What is wrong?
I've done this forever. I have my handicapping service.
I understand why they do it. It's just not smart.
But they don't make drastic changes. They refuse. They believe in their numbers, and they say, we're not going to overreact to one game. Now, I would agree with you. If I'm Joe Public, I'm saying, if I'm going to keep getting the Warriors plus points, I'm going to keep playing.
But it doesn't make any
sense. I don't see how this isn't a pick 'em by game time.
No. Yep. But
I knew they would probably have the Rockets as a favorite because they usually will, at the team that loses first, especially at home, they will actually make them usually a bigger favorite in game two because it's must win. But this is a little different scenario. This is Golden State. But they're acting like Cleveland is Golden State too.
They're not.
What are y'all doing? The Celtics are young, scrappy, and hungry, just like Alexander Hamilton in the U.S. back in the day, Dell. Young, scrappy, and hungry, and they're not throwing away their shot. That's what the musical said. I'm basically saying the Celtics are America pre-Revolutionary War.
Very white.
And LeBron James is King George, and he is the British.
He's King James. See?
He's basically the same king who's sitting there thinking, well, we're such a bunch of little fancy boys. You'll never beat us, little silly little... Boston Celtics, and then they're going to, they just got tea party. Only they got tea something else.
Right.
You went a long way for that.
Yeah, that's a long way.
It's okay. I connected all the
746
dots.
ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
I'm not throwing away my shot. That's basically what they're saying right now. If you're not throwing away your shot at a great crossover vehicle or pickup truck, then why don't you call my friend Craig DeSurf over at Gulf Coast? Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is where you go to get the very best in deals and prices. Look, I'm going to cut right to the chase. There's lots of places where you can go get a GMC or a Chevy or a Buick. Now, they all happen to have all three of those vehicles under one roof, and I think each one has different strengths. Like, you've got the Buick. I think one of the real strengths of the Buick is they've got kind of a luxurious interior, including the crossover vehicle that I think is great. The two best to me are the Buick Enclave and the Chevy Traverse. I'm driving the Traverse, but I think the Enclave is fantastic from Buick. You've got GMC Acadia as well. You've got yourself an opportunity at Gulf Coast Chevy to get a pickup truck like the 2018 Chevy 1500 Crew Cab LT model for employee pricing, minus all the rebates. That's up to $13,000 off MSRP with GM Financial Financing. But they understand, look, you can get these vehicles at other places. They're going to get you all these great deals, but they're also going to be more aggressive with trade-in value. They're going to have a better selection, interior and exterior, for the vehicles, the kind of vehicle that you're looking for. And they will go out of their way to get you the very best pricing right up front because they understand if you're going to drive out to Angleton, they're not going to mess around with you. They know you're not there to play games, and they're not there to play games with you. They want to get you thousands off your vehicle, and that's what they do at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Right there in Angleton, they want you to buy not just one car, but your second car. And they want you to buy your wife's car or a car for your kids, or they want you to tell your friends about it. Because when you have that experience here, you're going to want to because they're that good. And Craig DeSurf and the Killer D's make sure that you walk out of there with a great deal and a great car. Check them out for yourself at LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see this? There's a story today about golf and how it's going to be affected by the new betting. And I don't know if golf is going to be at the forefront of gambling with all the law changes with the states being, you know, ratifying betting, sports betting. I don't know how much, but they're worried because fans are so close to golfers. It's closer than any other sport. You can be, I mean, if a guy hits a ball over into the woods by you where you're standing, you'll be 3 feet from him. And if you've got money on that guy, which is about as tough a gamble as there is, you know, picking golfers that are going to win that week. But if it, let's say you, even if it's Thursday or Friday and the guy's playing like crap, you're going to be like, hey, you know how much money you're costing me? Huh? Could you hit a shot? You suck. So
you don't think other fans would handle that? Or course marshals or whatever?
Yeah, well, I mean, but you'll still have guys who are lit up and going after guys.
Those guys who are lit up all the time.
Yeah,
anyway.
But you're not as close in other sports. That's the point. And trust me, there are guys who are lit up. I know all of them that are lit up.
I trusted you in the
crowd. Did you see what Jason Duffner cost himself this week?
No.
He three-putted 18. It cost him $770,000.
What?
Yeah.
How is there instead that big a difference? Second. Did it? And he finished what, fifth?
He was fourth? In a tie, and then he ended up three putting. It cost him $700, and instead of walking up, if he finishes second with his birdie putt, he would have won $1.188 million. Instead, and he had a birdie putt that he could have made. He three putted, and he walked away with $418,000.
That's the one thing about golf, man. It's got to be by the last round, when you're down about six strokes, you're just like, I'm playing for money these last six holes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Are you
kidding?
I'm
laying up. I'm leaving it under the hole. I'm not taking any chances.
I need that. You know what? Every position, you fall so much that you are just losing money.
Man, that is the ultimate. That is the ultimate pressure.
Yeah, unbelievable. Dan, and we've got another golf story from the players. Lucas Glover, who was in studio with us years ago.
Yep.
He was Dick Harmon's player. Dick taught him and grew up. He's a South Carolina guy, Clemson guy, right? He's a big Clemson guy.
Not a South Carolina guy.
From South Carolina.
Right.
Right. He's a Clemson guy.
Can never call him a South Carolina guy.
Well, he's from South Carolina, and he's a Clemson guy. And won a U.S. Open. And he was at the Players this week, and he made the initial cut, but there's a Saturday cut as well. So if you don't finish in the top whatever, you're cut after Saturday's round, which is tough, but it happens.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there are some that are secondary cuts. The Players is one of them. I guess to get the field down for Sunday for television or whatever the case may be.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, you got a secondary cut too, and the Players has one. So he's at the Players, and he shoots 78 on Saturday. Well, he gets home, and his wife, Krista, is not pleased with his 78. calls him a loser and the P word. And it's apparently he told the police whenever he doesn't play well, she comes and comes at him. And not only comes at him, he had all kinds of marks all over his arms.
What?
And so did Lucas's mother. And so the cops said, well, we got to arrest her because...
Did she text him 65,000 times?
No, she didn't text him.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, I think...
I thought that was the same lady. I was just going to make sure he didn't marry her.
You want to talk about a great wife who cares about her husband and cares about him playing and bringing home the bacon. When he doesn't play well, you...
That's great wife.
You wussy.
Loser. Hey, can I ask a quick question? What is her job? Can you go find out what she does?
Housewife.
Oh, so she just suckles from the Lucas teat?
Well, no. She has the hardest job in America, Lance, raising kids.
Do they have kids?
Ask your wife.
Do they have kids?
I'm not sure about that.
Let me tell you what my wife has never done. My wife has never found out that I finished second in ratings, and all of a sudden I get this text message, puss. What?
Maybe she needs to start.
I just finished second in ratings.
Maybe our ratings will be higher.
Loser.
Maybe it.
Wait until I beat your ass when you get home. Fred and AJ have a good show. They're on my team. We're on the same team.
No, that's not our team. That's not our team and our kids' team, okay?
It's my team.
No.
I have both shows.
No, you. Again, he's taking credit. Fluff, Tiger's caddy. You know what happens? You're starting to do interviews now? Beat it, okay?
Can't wait for you to get home. I just saw that. Like he's three putt. Man, I've got to do a better job on the short game. Yeah, because it's really because you want to make that cut.
No,
my wife's gonna whoop my ass.
She was arrested.
Good.
And
for meanness.
Yeah, and her apparently she wasn't wearing any makeup when she was beating his ass.
Well, why would you bring that up?
Well, I don't know. If you see the mugshot,
actually, I do want to see the mugshot.
It appears that she wasn't all that ready for it.
I'll just do Lucas Glover wife mugshot.
Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A. Yeah, Krista Glover mugshot. And you'll.
I was going to do Lucas Glover wife.
There she is.
Not good.
Yeah, I mean she looks like she was.
She looks like somebody who would call you out for three putting.
A bit strung out. A bit
and
emotional.
And you tell that little bitch Jason Duffner that me and his wife are coming for him too.
$770,000. You didn't come
Can
home.
Can you
with?
Imagine what she would do?
Oh my God.
She looks like Predator.
Jason Duffner's wife.
I'm getting nervous looking at her. Like,
have you ever seen Jason Duffner's wife? Well, he's not married to her anymore.
Oh, I heard about smoke.
Yeah.
That never made sense to me.
Rumors about her and other people on the tour.
Oh, I know. I've heard that too.
Yeah. So Chris says
Krista is not to be trifled with.
Apparently not. You better make the cut. You better make the cut, son.
Man, I can't.
I like that though.
And he plays a bad round of golf. Krista proceeds to start an altercation with him and telling him how he's a loser and a pee. He said she then continued berating him about how he needs to fire everyone and how he'd better win or her and the kids would leave his ass.
See?
And he would never see the kids again. Holy crap.
Well, that's motivation, isn't it?
The 38-year-old golfer, however, tried to convince officers not to take his wife to the slammer, according to the Daily Mail. Despite his pleas, deputies arrested. Yeah, here's how that went. Please don't take her. Please don't take her. And he's like doing his hands or he's doing winks.
But him and his mom both had scratches on their arms.
Visible lacerations.
Yeah. She must come at him with a knife, as well she should.
Regrettably, although
if you
Crystal
don't
was charged,
make the cut, then maybe your wife should come after you. I'm all about this. Your kids don't hit that shot, Lance. If Mason doesn't hit that game-winning shot, you know what you do? You got to beat his ass.
What? We are. Oh, wait. Wait till those. Oh, wait. Oh, this one. Some more. She then put up a struggle as officers attempted to place her in the patrol car, wrapping her legs around the door and frame, according to the police report. What? There had to be alcohol involved.
She's feisty.
Once inside the vehicle, she started screaming and kicking the door. Wait till the tour hears about this, Krista reportedly said. You will lose your job. This is why cops. Holy crap. Did you read this?
No, I didn't see this.
This is why cops get shot in the face.
Wait till I swear to God she said this. She called him a pussy. Mm. And then she said, this is why cops get shot in the face. Wait till I talk with the judge. You will be effing fired over this.
Oh, well, maybe not.
I wonder how the judge, how it went. I wonder if they got fired. Do you think they got fired?
I don't think they got.
Do you think she took the kids, her and the kids bolted from Lucas?
I think that maybe Lucas is going to have to find a way to he's going to have to find a nanny.
Minus
because mommy's going to be in prison.
We got to break it. But minus 900 favorite, you're going to get. Krista Glover has a statement. I am going to seek help for my trouble with alcohol addiction.
No.
I am very sad that this is going
to
be the
well,
alcohol
this is
addiction.
Lucas's statement. On May 12th, my wife and mother were involved in an argument to which the police were called. Everyone is fine, regrettably. Although Krista was charged, we are comfortable that the judicial system is able to address what actually happened. And Krista will be cleared in this private matter. We thank you for respecting our privacy as we work through this unfortunate situation.
Accidental lacerations. Accidental saying a cop's going to get shot in the face. Accidental screaming that the judge is going to fire his
accidental p-words.
Accidental P words. These aren't, this matter's going to be cleared. She's wrongly accused.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, 713-780-3776, the number. I got to talk right now about my man, Jeff Aronoff, over at Absolute Marble and Granite. He has got, listen, it's getting hot out there, and you want to be out by the pool. You want to sit outside under your fans with dad making the steaks on the grill and your outdoor kitchen. How you do all this stuff? I'll tell you how you do all this stuff. You call Jeff Aronoff because this is what he does. He puts in entire outdoor kitchens, and he'll do all the tile on your around your pool. He will do that. He'll put in your outdoor patio. He'll do all of these things for you. All you got to do is give him a call and let him come to your home, give you that free estimate, and give you that 20% off right now. Just give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Jeff Aronoff is going to get to your home and give you the best price. And he's going to help you to get to pick all the right stuff because it's what he does every day. He picks all the right stuff for all the people. He's going to help you. If you don't know what you're doing here, that's all right. Jeff does. 713-880-2822. Tell him you heard it right here.